What's up, Conference USA fans? Welcome into another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm your host, Josh Yonas, joining you for what unfortunately I think is going to be one of our final episodes of the academic year, where we'll hopefully get a chance to take a break this summer. We may come at you with a couple special guest interviews here and there, but really coming to the end of our spring championship season. And joining me again is Associate Director of Communications, Eric Jones. Eric, glad to have you on again.
It's an exciting time. You know, one weekend left of baseball and wrapping up spring seasons here.
I know. So yeah, we're kind of dwindling down on things that we have to talk about. Some of the other active sports that we have going on, women's golf. We've got a couple individual players that are really in the mix for a potential national championship appearance. Emma Bunch from New Mexico State. Currently, we're recording this at 2:28 on Tuesday, the 12th. So we still have, I think both these players are still currently playing, and they have one more round tomorrow. But Emma Bunch sitting in second place at Stanford Regional. Isabella Johnson from Middle Tennessee in a tie for seventh at the Louisville Regional. Both of them, again, wrap up tomorrow afternoon. And a friendly reminder that the top nine individuals that are not on an advancing team from each regional will go to, I believe it's Carlsbad, California, somewhere in California. I should double check that, but for the NCAA Golf National Championship. So we're sitting in a really good spot to have both of our individual players head to that event coming up at the end of this month. So and then we've also got men's golf going on next week. So yeah, still kind of in the swing of all of our spring postseason sports going on, but finished up our softball championship. We'll get into that a little bit later. We have a very special guest, Jacksonville State head coach Julie Boland, joins the podcast again to talk about their run up in Newark, Delaware, and preview their NCAA regional appearance. But let's get into baseball. We only got a couple weeks, or really 1 week or 2 weeks left.
1 week.
Okay. And then next week, you guys are in Kennesaw for the CUSA Baseball Championship. Again, really excited to see how this one plays out with the new format. Yeah. Lots of great teams there at the top. I know you put out a great teaser last week that was kind of showing a hypothetical bracket with where, you know, our top nine teams are right now. And it got a lot of people really interested in kind of what some potential pods could look like, getting kind of more understanding of what that how that format's going to play out, who might be, you know, kind of upset a little bit because of how that's going to shake out. But anyways, let's get into it. I know you mentioned we've got a lot of teams that have kind of punched their tickets to Kennesaw, but still a lot to be decided.
Yeah, I gotta start with congratulating Jacksonville State. Clinched at least a share of the regular season title. They're 22-5, had a big series win this past weekend against rival Kennesaw State, especially after dropping that tough one on Friday night. Kennesaw State looked really, really good this weekend. I want to first give their props to them, too. They looked really, really sharp this weekend, really kept in battle all three of those games there with the Gamecocks. I know that's a big, big series for those guys just down the road. But Jacksonville State coming out on top on Sunday with the walk-off winner. And regular season champs still have not secured the one seed yet. Liberty's still got a chance. They got a sweep, and Jacksonville State's got to get swept. So you never know, though. Jacksonville State, 40-win year. Again, Coach Beezer's doing incredible things out there. Eli Pillsbury was our pitcher of the week. He had actually the one game they lost. He had a no decision on Friday, had 12 strikeouts. Really dominant performance once again from him. But yeah, we have 8 of the 9 spots so far clinched, and it really is coming down to that last spot. And I was kind of looking at it, going into the week this week and seeing that last little scenario there. But Middle Tennessee and FIU are fighting for that last that 9 seed. I guess technically just the last spot in the tournament. FIU will have to sweep New Mexico State. Middle Tennessee would have to get swept by Liberty for FIU to jump Middle Tennessee with this.
Yeah, both of those things are very viable results.
Yeah. And again, like if Middle Tennessee gets a win or if FIU loses, Middle Tennessee will get in that 9th spot there. But certainly been a really fun year. And again, like you mentioned, what I put out last week on my Twitter, I was like, I was just kind of having fun with it all week long. And I was like, I gotta get some eyes on this.
Yeah.
Let the people see it. And especially with how low, I mean, you look at 1 through 5, a little bit of a break, and then you have 5 or 6, 7, 8, 9, all there kind of bunched together too. But you know, it's three teams in three different pods. You're going to have two of those top five teams in two of those three pods, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Which I think is going to bode well when, because I think there's a lot of buzz, right? And it's not just us. I mean, everyone's talking about the fact that at the very minimum, we should be a three-bid league. Maybe four if we get some upsets at the conference tournament and those top three teams do end up getting bounced. But I think it bodes really well for a team like a Missouri State, who, you know, maybe on the, you know, or even a TBU, again, like someone who's kind of on the bubble right now, like in the conversation, but could really benefit from being in a challenging pod that is going to help their RPI and, you know, give them another statement win. But, you know, I got to imagine whoever ends up as the number one seed is going to feel pretty nice having that coveted, you know, pod where you're playing 1, 6, and 9 and you get maybe an easier route to get to the semifinals and hopefully a CUSA title.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. Cause you're going to have 2 seed playing the 5 seed.
Yep.
3 playing the 4. So yeah, you're definitely going to have, and even in some of those situations, like, you know, you look, let's just say right now, you know, you have Liberty as a 2 seed, hypothetically, and you would have, you know, La Tech as the 5 seed, who La Tech just went into Lynchburg this past weekend and won that series. So, certainly going to make for a good time. I think Missouri State had a big bounce back weekend this past weekend. They've been skidding quite a bit. And, you know, you look at their offense, obviously a physical bunch, and can really put up some offensive power numbers. They slug it well. But, yeah, I think it's just a back end of the bullpen type of thing. Pitching not really coming together, and saw themselves losing a few series in a row there. But a big sweep for them this past weekend. I know they're dealing with all sorts of weather stuff. I know Sunday they had to go play at another ballpark there in Springfield. To try and get that game in, which they knew was a big game. We wanted them to get that game in, but then you look at, you know, the other series, the big series last weekend too, and Louisiana Tech going to Lynchburg, and really, you know, over the past few years have kind of, you know, dominated that series between the two teams. Louisiana Tech taking the first two in that series, Liberty salvaging a big game for them too. They could not get swept. I don't think they really could have afforded that. But I think it's been really fun watching those top five teams right now just kind of beating up on each other all year, you know, and selfishly, like as someone at the conference office, that's kind of what you want to see. You don't want to see anyone beating down anybody and, you know, pushing someone aside. Like, we want to get 3 teams in, you know, maybe even 4, but it's certainly been a lot of fun. I also got to give, you know, a huge shout out to, honestly, it was a really big series this past week in Middle Tennessee's Nathan Brewer. Set a conference USA record. He had 4 home runs on Friday night.
Unreal.
5 for 5 effort with 6 ribbies. You don't see that every so often. I think back to, you know, being a Ranger fan and Josh Hamilton doing that when I was a kid and hitting 4 home runs in Baltimore and how big of a deal that is. I still see that come up on the timeline every so often. So a huge feat for Nathan Brewer. Super fun to watch and see that. It got all sorts of buzz on the socials too, so super fun to see. Also want to give a shout out to Cale Frost at WKU, a guy that's kind of emerged on the scene a little bit, and, you know, haven't really been hearing about this WKU new, you know, lineup. I know Kyle Hayes went down with an injury last weekend, I believe, and you know, he's one of their big leaders too, but Cale Frost, one of the hottest bats right now in CUSA, has logged 22 RBIs in his last 24 games.
Wow.
So he is really producing and staying at a consistent, you know, pace right now with that WKU team. A big series win for them over DBU this past weekend. And, you know, they have a shot at really solidifying that 6 seed. I know it's not going to be ideal, but they kind of control their own destiny to stay in that 6 spot and, you know, be in that pool A. But yeah, I mean, I think we're getting set for a really fun week in Kennesaw. Again, brand new ballpark, Mickey Dunn Stadium. It's going to be a really, really fun week. And looking forward to being out there.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the final bracket and then kind of getting into it, right? Of like all the potential matchups we're going to see, whoever that 3-4 game, I think, is going to be the first one to watch, really, right? And then just, yeah, again, all the potential matchups we'll have in the semifinals and ultimately the championship, and all in hopes that, yeah, we got 3, maybe even 4 teams in the NCAA tournament. So again, I really love seeing all the buzz about that right now. So Yeah, softball just finished up our championship last week up there in Newark, Delaware. First time we had our newcomers, University of Delaware, hosting a championship event. They put on an amazing show. So shout out to everyone on that staff, all the way down, you know, from AD Jordan Skolnick, you know, down the list to, you know, the game day, you know, marketing and, you know, people, anyone who is around the ballpark. They were amazing to work with. So I got tons of compliments from all of our schools about the experience, about the facility. It's great. So yeah, I know I'm looking forward to you getting a chance to go see it for women's soccer this fall. But yeah, incredible championship. I think we, you know, we really had it all, right? Lots of great defense, you know, lots of just great softball overall, great pitching performances, some dramatic games. And we only had one run rule, which was kind of nice. Wow. I mean, it is nice to, you know, selfishly, it's nice when you have the quicker games to keep the day moving, but it was good to have some, you know, really entertaining games throughout the week. I will say I was given a little bit of shade to our guest last week, Justin McLeod. You know, he came on, said, Louisiana Tech was his dark horse for the tournament. I was like, really? You know, the seven seed, like, okay, whatever. He was on something. Louisiana Tech ended up making the semifinals, but, ultimately getting knocked out in this one. But yeah, got to talk about Jacksonville State. What a run for them last week in Newark. Rallied from that semifinal loss to Liberty. And I don't know what it is. It's 3 years in a row now that we've kind of been in this, you know, similar format where that team that, you know, comes out of the winner's bracket, punches that first ticket in the championship game is 0-3. It's always every, you know, the last 3 years, it's been that team that's fought out of the loser's bracket. And there's definitely something there. You know, I asked Coach Bullen in our interview at the very end, you know, not to spoil it, what, you know, she would describe, how she would describe this run. And she said grit. And I feel like that just perfectly embodies, you know, what it takes to, you know, you drop a game like that. You could, she says it a ton of times, right? You can either rise or you can shrink. And they certainly rose to the occasion. Each opportunity they had after that loss, set up the rematch in the title game, down 4-0 going into the bottom of the fourth inning, really took advantage of I don't have a better word for it other than a meltdown by Liberty in that inning. They send all 9 players to the plate in that inning. They only had one hit. You had 3 straight bases loaded walks. Amber Reed sack fly was the one that tied the game. Just a really bizarre inning because we had seen so much good out of Camden Anders all week. And then for, you know, you could tell she was fatigued. And it kind of unraveled in that one. Ended up scoring 3 more in the bottom of the 6th, all with 2 outs. Had an RBI double. Kaylee Martin came in, sealed it with a 2-run shot. Got to give a major shout out to McKinley Portillo. She pitched 4 2/3 innings of incredible relief against this talented Liberty lineup. And then tournament MVP Morgan Nowakowski. Can't say enough about what she did last week. You know, at the plate, in the field, in the dugout, supporting her teammates, really just, you know, building everybody up. She finished the week hitting .636, 7-for-11, 8 RBIs, which is tied for the second most in a tournament in CUSA softball championship history. So certainly left her mark and left it all out on the field. So then we had selection show this past Sunday. Found out they'll be headed to the Tallahassee Regional against, they'll be playing UCF in the first game, 1:30 p.m. Central Time on ESPN Plus. So, and really kind of a cool full circle moment for them. And I asked Coach Boland about it as well. You know, the last time they went to the regionals back in 2018, they went to the Tallahassee Regional, ended up making the regional final against Florida State. So, for her, another member on her staff who was actually playing at the time, you know, get a chance to kind of go back there again, maybe get, you know, the better of them this time. We'll see. I mean, we saw, you know, Liberty's run last year, so we know it can be done out of Conference USA. So hoping it plays out the same for them. But tease us perfectly into our guest this week. As I mentioned multiple times, we've got Jacksonville State head coach Julie Bowen to share just a little bit on her team's journey through the CUSA Softball Championship and previewing the Tallahassee Regional this upcoming weekend. So enjoy our interview with Coach Boland. Welcome back, CUSA Insider fans. Into our interview segment, we are joined by Jack State softball coach Julie Boland, fresh off a championship at the 2026 CUSA softball tournament up there in Newark, Delaware. Coach Boland, how are you doing? First, you know, congratulations. How's it been?
Thank you very much. It's been fun. You know, it's kind of surreal because this is what we talk about all season long. And then when it actually comes and you walk around town and everybody's like, congrats, congrats, congrats. You're like, thanks. We're still working. We got to still work. So it's been a lot of fun. The girls are enjoying it, which is the most important part of it. But yeah, it's been great.
That's awesome. When that final out was recorded, just kind of after everything that you guys have been through together with you at the helm over the last, 2 years now, what was going through your head? What was that moment like for you?
Yeah, I just amazing. Final out, you know, the swing and miss, it was huge. I think it was just a deep breath, an elation, a sense of just pride for the girls. Any fun, exciting emotion that you could feel all jumbled up together. And I've never felt that. And I talked to our SWA right after, and she's like, Julie, I know you've been here before and as an assistant coach, but it's different as a head coach. I'm like, you're dang right. It's different. So I had a lot of tears of joy. And it was really just for the girls. They deserved it. You know, they've put in the work, they put in the grind. They set goals really early in the season, and they stuck to it every day. And you know, with this team, Josh, it was every day they asked for more. So, and that's just a special quality that this team had was nothing was enough. It was what can we do more, coach? Give us more. Challenge us harder. And that's one of the things that they accepted every day was just the competition of anything that we threw at them. And they raised the bar, they raised their standard. So, you know, it's kudos to them.
I'm sure a lot of that goal setting revolved around some unfinished business after the way that last year's softball championship ended. How satisfying was it to see them come full circle and be able to finish it out this time?
Oh, huge. You know, our end of the year meetings last year, every single returner came back and said, coach, we want to be there again and we want to win it. So whatever that takes. And I said, absolutely. So, you know, the end of the year meetings was for them. How do we get better? But also it was a challenge to me and the coaching staff of how do we get this team elevated one more step? How do we keep going? How do we make sure that we give these players enough to be successful? So for the whole season, just moving forward, the fight that the team had, and the grind and even championship game. I think it was 13 games we came from behind during season, 7 of them in conference play. And for the championship game to have to fight out of the hole that we fought out of just speaks volumes of the girls and their grit and their determination. But it's something that they have showed since game one of our season. Game one, I think we came from behind and went extra inning games. And after that game, I thought this team can do it. So just for them to put it all together at the end, championship game, just speaks volumes of their character and their grit.
There'd be a big theme of redemption just kind of in a lot of our conversation, but last year's championship loss to the Lady Flames, as you mentioned, I mean, really fueled a lot of your players to want to come back and finish the job this time. But how were you able to kind of help them put that behind them as you go into the tournament and kind of, you know, clean the slate a little bit?
Right. Well, that, it's one of those things, Josh, we talk about just our responses. How do we respond to different situations? And after last year's game, you know, we beat ourselves in that game. We didn't show up with the same type mentality, aggressiveness that we had rolling into that championship game. So this year we've talked about just how do we respond to every situation that we're in, you know, and it's a choice. We talk about our choices, you know, choices with our mentality of, you know, on the softball field, we have two choices. We can shrink or we can rise. So going into that championship game, a lot of us have been there before. I want to say one of the announcers said every single defensive player out there had been there before. So, you know, it's, do we shrink or do we rise to the occasion? And, you know, for them to rise and fight their way out of it just shows, you know, that they actually listened and they accepted it. And they said, okay, we're going to respond a different way this year than last year. So being able to be in that position again, we knew it was going to be a fight. Liberty has a fantastic program. Everybody in the conference has a fantastic program. So to be able to fight our way through it to make it to the championship game, their response was just determination, because they didn't want to have that feeling that they had the year before.
So going to the semi, you know, the first appearance or first matchup against Liberty in the semifinal there, obviously doesn't go your way. How, you know, what kind of adjustments did you make with the team, knowing that you were going to see Camden Anders again in that championship game, most likely, and just being able to kind of rile the offense up a little bit and get more out of them?
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things. Our offense didn't show up the first game against Liberty, and they've been showing up every game. So going into the championship game, you know, really it was before we played Western. After we lost, we went back to the hotel, had a team meeting, and I said, we're going to hit restart. I want you to go to your room, take a shower. We're putting on new jerseys. We're starting the day over. And I told them, you know, it's one of those things. The reality is you lose and you go home. So it's up to you to figure out how hard do you want to make it on yourselves, or do you want to show up and bring your offense? And then when we rolled in Liberty the next day, you know, I said, here's the thing. I'm going to be proud of you, win or lose. And some of the girls looked at me like they wanted to kill me. And I'm like, it's not what you want to hear, but here's the reality is if you don't show up, we lose, our season's done. So it's going to be a choice to make of, do you want to show up and play like Gamecock softball, or do you want to shrink in the occasion? And so, you know, thankfully they said, coach, we're going to respond. So we had a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah. And they certainly did. They're, you know, beginning with that fourth inning and then obviously going, you know, into the bottom of the sixth as well. What was there a specific moment there that you kind of knew the switch had flipped a little bit and you know, the game was starting to go in your favor?
Yeah, absolutely. We were swinging at a lot of balls. Our offense was swinging at a lot of balls. And we had to make the adjustment with our eyes. She's throwing a great rise ball. So when we made the switch of letting balls be balls, I think our first walk, or I think it was a hit, then a walk, I thought, okay, now we're settling down in the box. So their adjustment just for the strike zone alone was huge. As you know, you saw all the walks. So being able to celebrate the walks as much as we celebrate doubles to score runs was huge for our team. And we've talked about that all season too. We're going to celebrate bunts. We're going to celebrate walks. We're going to celebrate great base running. All the little things that we can control. We can't control how the ball comes off the bat, but we can control our strike zone. So for them being able to make that adjustment against Camden was big. So I think, like you said, in the fourth inning, when we score one run, we're going to be able to take a breath and really kind of explode. And that's what they did.
Yeah. You talk about celebrating walks. I mean, you would have thought that they had, you know, hit one 300 feet into the parking lot with the way they were throwing the bat down. Yep. Man, that was awesome to see them kind of get the rest of the girls fired up. But we got to talk about one player in specific, Morgan Nowakowski. Just unbelievable game after game in this tournament. What did you see from her mentally, physically, emotionally throughout the tournament that obviously resulted in her being MVP and just kind of being a great leader for her team?
Yeah, Josh, her heart. I mean, she put every single thing into that tournament. And she willed it for herself, and I think she willed it for her teammates. You know, we talk about bleeding positive things to your teammates. So our seniors, for sure. What are you going to bleed onto your teammates? So for her wanting to win so bad, I think she was not going to take anything less from her teammates. And I think you saw that the whole tournament. She wanted it so bad. So her determination and the way she talked to her teammates, the energy she gave off, it was one of those things. It was, we're not taking anything less. I'm not going to take anything less, and I'm not going to let you take anything less. So just for her heart and her determination of, we're winning this, you guys better jump on board with me, I think was Morgan all week. And for her to get the MVP, I think there's no one more deserving because she came up in big moments. But not only that, it was just her actions in the dugout at the hotel of, we're winning this, and she wasn't going to let anybody talk about anything else.
for her and her story, obviously, we got a chance to talk to her earlier this season and had an incredible conversation about her journey to where she is now. But how fitting is it for, you know, obviously her career is not over. She at least has one more weekend to play. But how fitting was it for, you know, kind of one of her final moments to be, you know, hoisting that trophy and being crowned the MVP?
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't be more happy for her. And, you know, her journey, it's one of those things I sometimes forget about. But when I'm reminded like this, her sense of this is a game and I've been blessed with all this talent and I'm not going to let it go to waste, I think is a true testament to her. Because what she went through, you know, I remember when the day after her surgery, she FaceTimed me and she's using a walker and she's got IVs hanging all out of her, wires going everywhere. And she's taking little steps and she's like, "Coach, look at me. I'm walking." Like, "Morgan, awesome. You know, step by step, we'll get there. We'll get there." So thinking back to that journey that sometimes I do forget about to where she is now, you know, I'm just overjoyed for her as far as she takes every day as a blessing and she doesn't take it for granted. And she is the true epitome of this is a game and we're going to play it as hard as we can and have fun while we're playing it. She doesn't let situations get too big for her. So she doesn't think softball is fear or stressful. It's we're going to have fun doing this and watch me play. So I couldn't be more happy for her.
For people who may only see kind of her on-field production, what can you speak to about what she's meant to the growth and the standard set of Jacksonville State softball?
Oh, for sure. You know, her character, with as good as she is on the field, her character is that and more. And I say that because she is a true team player. She puts the team first. She puts the program first. And luckily, I've been able to coach her hard throughout the years. She has allowed me to do that. We have many conversations about that. And I tell her I'm going to coach you hard till the very last pitch of whenever the season is done. And she, you know, she graciously says, "Coach, I want you to." So for her character, just as a human being, putting the program first, being selfless, I wish everybody could meet that Morgan and just always a smile on her face. And not only that, but, you know, she has put in the work in the classroom too. Talk about like a student athlete. She graduated with her undergrad last year. She just graduated with her MBA. So now really she's a professional player for us. But, you know, just all around human being, a fantastic aunt. She has two little nieces that they show up everywhere and they just love her Momo. So that's what they call her. So just a complete present student athlete, human being, just wonderful character.
Well, I'm sure we could spend the whole rest of this interview just talking about Morgan, but let's talk about some other players on the team that helped fuel this championship run. I think one of the most impressive things was seeing that, you know, the conference's player of the year and pitcher of the year really, you know, didn't have the greatest tournament, to be completely honest. So, you know, the team still found ways to win. And I think that kind of speaks to your depth on the roster. So how impressed were you that other players were able to step up in key moments and deliver a championship for Jack State?
100%, Josh. And that's the beauty of playing a team sport. You know, we did have player of the year and pitcher of the year. But it takes all 9 on the field, all 10 on the field. And not only that, our dugout brought a huge presence to the team as far as their energy. And, you know, the depth on our team, 1 through 9 and some of our pinch hitters, it's just the mentality of I'm going to do it for my teammate. I'm not doing it for myself is big. You know, we're big on let's just pass the bat. If you have runners on, we want to pass the bat to the next person. If we can keep passing the bat, we're going to keep putting runs up. So for them to have that mentality of I'll step up was big. But Josh, I mean, if you could follow us the whole season, it was like that all season long. It was every day there was new players stepping up. You know, I'd get the box scores. And I'm like, oh, JC went 3 for 3 today. That's huge, you know, as a number 8 batter. Or Haley Cushingberry at the bottom, or Michaela DeVille that we put pinch in, she's 2 for 2. I'm like, we're just keeping we're just turning the lineup over to get more at bats. So it's not surprising to me. It may be, you know, from the outside looking in, but they've been doing it all season.
And then got to talk about McKinley Portillo as well. Really spent most of the year as your third option on the pitching staff. Comes in a huge moment in that championship game. Delivers 4 2/3 innings of amazing relief against a very talented Liberty lineup to lead you to that championship win. Just talk about the confidence you had in her to come in that moment and how impressed you were with her delivering on a big stage like that.
Yeah, absolutely. She's a special kid. And she went through her ups and downs this year, and she went through some low downs. And I think the last one, I can't remember the series that we were playing in, we won the game, but she was very disappointed in the way that she threw. She gave up a couple runs. And, you know, I looked at her, I said, her nickname's Port. So I said, Port, you're going to be huge for us in the tournament. It's not going to surprise me if you have the game ball on championship day. And she just looked at me. I said, I'm telling you, you're going to be a difference maker for us in the tournament. And, you know, she just had tears in her eyes and she's just shaking her head. Yes. But for her to be able to show up championship day and throw like she did, I could tell in her first two pitches, I was like, she's dealing today. So just for her to be able to grind. And you know, I think the cool thing with her is her and Morgan are roommates in Jacksonville. They were roommates on the road for this past week. And I think they just talked about championships so much, their mentality was at the right spot. So for her to go in and deal, you know, the look in her eyes was just different. And I'm just so proud of her. I mean, she was a bulldog when she got the ball.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I think it's something that maybe a lot of people don't really think about is the mental side of the game so much. And for you to kind of put that confidence in her and speak it into existence, yeah. You know, that appearance, and then to have Morgan as well as kind of an extra support system, you know, the two of them really focusing in, honing in on a championship and hoisting that trophy. But now headed back to Tallahassee, interesting full circle moment, right? Because you're the assistant coach. The last time you guys went out there back in 2018, advanced to the regional final against the Seminoles. So what do you think? I mean, I guess first, how special is it for you to kind of take this team to that opportunity? And what kind of comes up as you're revisiting that last time out?
Yeah, absolutely. It's super special to take us back. And I think the last time we were in regionals was that regional. And the cool thing was, is Coach Haley, our hitting coach, was actually a player then. So that's also fun. When it popped up, she goes, it's going to feel like home. And I was like, it sure is. Because I believe we went to Tallahassee in 17 and 18 for their regionals. But it's going to be fun, and I'm looking forward to it. I think Florida State puts on a great regional. They're great hosts. The fans are great. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be a different energy again. We talked to the players about the energy during the conference championship. I said the energy at regionals is going to be that much better. So get ready for it. The crowds are going to be bigger. It's going to be louder. There's going to be more attention on us. So you know, it's just going back to what we just talked about, our mentality. Are we going to rise or are we going to shrink? So, it's fun. And I tell the girl they deserve it all. It's funny because I was just talking to our SID about it. Just the byproducts of their goals. So we talked as a team about, regular season championships, and Morgan Nowakowski, said it, in one of our team meetings. And she said, this is not our goal. This has not been our goal. Our goal is a conference championship. Regular season is just a byproduct. Player of the year is just a byproduct. So all this, these interviews are just a byproduct, you know? So all of this, all of these things that are happening towards regionals is a byproduct, but for them to stay so focused on their goals and for us to get to a regional, it's the byproduct of their goals. And we, you know, we talked as a team yesterday in the locker room about, do we want to show up and do we want to just be happy to be there? Or do we want to make some noise? Do you want to be a nationally known team? So, you know, their answer was, we want to make some noise and we want to be a nationally known team. So, hopefully we show up there, and, our goal is to make some noise and, win a few games and make it back to that championship.
So playing UCF in the first game Friday afternoon, kind of an interesting matchup when you start to look at it on paper a little bit. Pitching staff, I think one of the things that jumped out to me you know, they allow a lot of walks. And we've already talked about that, how important that was in the championship game. Something that's been important to your team and your offense all year is being one of the nation's leaders in being disciplined in drawing walks. Is that a point of emphasis for you as you guys prepare for this weekend to kind of stay the course and maintain that identity?
Yeah, for sure, Josh. You know, we're not going to reinvent the wheel. One of the things that we've done really well is taking our walks. We talk about let balls be balls. You know, we don't want to hit balls. We're just going to let them be balls and see what happens after that. So for us to have as many walks as we do this season is fantastic. And going up a pitching staff that gives a lot of walks is fun, but it's not an over point of emphasis. We want to keep doing the same thing. We want to stay as normal as possible going in there because that's what's made us great. So we're going to take our walks. If they want to give us walks, I'm sure we'll swing at some balls, but we're going to let balls be balls and celebrate those walks.
And then for your pitching staff, coming off of, you know, being able to navigate a tournament run in the CUSA championship, I got to imagine the confidence is pretty high going into a regional format that, you know, you have a lot of options. You know, you have someone like Port that can step in and deliver a big appearance.
Yeah, for sure. Our pitching staff is huge, and they have been all season. So to figure out what to mix up to keep UCF off balance will be fun. But I think, you know, Ken is feeling great. Jaleah's feeling great. And Port is feeling great. Like you said, their confidence, they're riding high, but we've got to make sure, you know, just like always, we stay on our corners, we keep them off balance, and we're smart with their hitters. So Coach Liv does a great job with them, and it's going to be mentality. Again, do you want to rise or do you want to shrink? So I think we're going to have a lot of fun in this regional.
If you could kind of describe just this championship journey, you know, that's still not over. You still obviously have the regional coming up, but if you could describe the journey of this season in one word, what would you think it would be?
Oh, great question. I would just say grit. Our team is full of grit. They want to compete. They want to fight. They're determined no matter what the situation is. So I would say they're just gritty.
All right. I like it. Well, Coach, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. Best of luck this weekend in Tallahassee. I know you mentioned, you know, these interviews are a byproduct of what you've already done. Hopefully we get to come back next week and we're having another one to discuss, you know, maybe a super regional appearance. But
that'd be great.
Either way, congrats on a great season. Best of luck this weekend.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much to Coach Boland for taking time out of her prep for the NCAA Tallahassee Regional to speak with us on the CUSA Insider Podcast. As always, you can stay up to date with all the latest episodes and things going on around the podcast. You can listen to us on wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts. Also, give us a follow on social media at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. And then you can find all of our episodes on YouTube as well, all of our video episodes. Just go to youtube.com/conferenceUSA and you'll see a playlist there with all of our episodes. That'll do it for us. Thank you again for joining another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Josh Jonas, signing off.